This is your first step. If you are in this condition, you're listening on the radio right now, you're listening live across the world, wherever you are, if you're married to an unbeliever, here is the very first step to make that guy a new husband, okay?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone. On today's program, we continue Pastor Bill's recent study in the Epistle of 1 Peter. The message today is titled, Submission, the Role of the Wife. Now, let's join Pastor Bill.
Talking about in 1 Peter, about that word that everyone in the world loves, right? The word submit. And it just sets people off the wrong way. So as Peter now is writing these five chapters, and he's writing them to the pilgrims, if you will, and the dispersion, those saints of God, the Jewish believers, who are scattered now over the five provinces there in the Roman Empire. And they are suffering a bitter persecution. They're going through fiery trials. And that's why Peter penned, through the power of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter. Remember what he says in chapter 5, verse 12. He says, I'm writing to you briefly, just a short letter. He says, exhorting you, encouraging you. You're not alone. I know what you're going through. Encouraging you that you would stand firm in the true grace of God. And that's a command. Because when we're going through trials, we need to stand in the grace of God, for His grace is sufficient no matter what we're facing. Amen? So we've learned here in our text this morning that, you know, Peter tells us, he said, listen, you know, that we are to obey. All Christians were to submit to the governing authorities, meaning human authorities that pass law and govern and so forth, unless they contradict the word of God. So we've learned about submission there. We've learned about last Sunday, the submission of slaves to their masters and so forth. But this morning, we're going to move to someplace else. We're going to talk about women and their submission. And it's very important that we really listen to what Peter's doing here, okay? Now, remember that without submission, no matter if it's our government, our military, your family, the church, your children, education, whatever in our land, without submitting to what God, then would confusion break out? And chaos, of course. So, you know, submission is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And the word submit comes from God. It doesn't come from man, okay? Now, with all of that being said, this morning we have Christian wives, and they are married to unbelieving husbands, okay? In other words, they were married, and then during the marriage, one or the other, here the wife, got saved, but not the husband, okay? So, you know, I started to entitle this, you know, God Tells You How to Get a New Husband, but I didn't think that would go over very well. So that's why I'm calling it Submission in Marriage, the Wife. Next week, it'll be the man. Now, but before we get into our text, I want to give you some very important information, okay? Again, we have to, first of all, interpret our text this morning. Historically, we have to look at women in the time of Peter's day, okay? And when you do that, let's just look under Jewish law for a moment. Under Jewish law, a woman, a wife, had absolutely no rights. Did you know that? They had to do, their husband could, a Jewish husband could divorce his wife for any reason. If she burnt the toast, or, you know, gave him a burnt offering instead of whatever he needed. You know what I'm saying. Or if, even if she was disrespectful to the mother-in-law, he could say, our divorce is over. And that was the way it was during that time. And under Roman law, it wasn't really during the days of Peter, it wasn't any better. The woman had no rights. She was literally possessed or owned by her dad. And then when she married, he passed that ownership off to her husband. And even no matter how wealthy a Roman woman was, and many were, they still had no rights. It's amazing. Now, can you imagine a woman who is married to, say, a Roman? And all of a sudden, she hears the good news of Jesus Christ, and she is born again, but her husband isn't. Do you think that might pose some problems? Absolutely. And that's what Peter is doing here. So whether it was Jewish law or whether it was Roman law, okay, the husband ruled. Wives had no rights. See, if the husband got saved, the wife couldn't do anything. She'd just be quiet. In other words, you're going to church because I'm the man and you're nothing. You're just a thing. Honest. So it didn't pose a problem if the man got saved, but if the woman got saved, it really got in trouble here, the wife. Now, listen very carefully. During this time in the first century, for a woman, okay, a married woman to become a Christian and her husband did not, was absolutely unthinkable. It's unprecedented during that time. Can you imagine how brave that woman must really be to hear the gospel and know that she has no rights, but she receives Christ. She is born from above, but her husband is not. Boy, the things that happen. And you know what we really don't understand about women, okay, women's rights. I mean, listen, you know, don't forget in 19th century America, and that wasn't that long ago, did women have any rights? No, they didn't have any rights. A married woman in general, did you know that she couldn't make out a will? She couldn't sign a contract? Did you know that even if she earned a living, made wage, she had no control over the money that she earned? Oh, she couldn't even vote. Remember that? So in 1920, we remember what the 19th Amendment was ratified and passed, and it gave women the right to vote. Amen? Now, and even then, it was slow in the process. Loved one, that was 104 years ago, or 30 years after I was born. All right. Now, let me give you, that's man's view, but God's view, that's not God's view of a woman or a man or anyone that's in Christ, because the Bible tells us this, they're all equal. Let me give you the scripture. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew, Greek, there's neither slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. So today, let's just look at it also from our perspective. Christian women, they are married sometimes to unbelieving husbands, aren't they? Absolutely. So what does a wife do? Okay, what does she do then and what does she do today? Well, she obeys the Lord. She obeys Scripture. She does the one who created, she obeys the one who created male, female, and marriage. Amen? Now, with all that being said, that means that they submit to the Word of God. And before us is the foundation of all victory. Before us, loved one, that is when you submit to the Word of God and you're obedient. And before us also, you're not going to find the wisdom in these short verses anywhere in the world except in God's Word, okay? You're not going to find them in self-help books. Even good friends, they don't even probably believe this as well. But listen to God's plan if you are a Christian wife and your husband is not a believer, okay? Beginning in verse 1. It says, wives, what's that next word? Likewise. That means in the same way as we as Christians obey the government and submit to the government authority, as long as they don't contradict God's word, and the same way that slaves submit to their masters, whether they're good masters or bad, and the same ways are likewise, just as Jesus became our example that we should follow in his footsteps there in chapter 2, verse 21. It says they are to do something. Look at it. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your what? Your own husbands. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you submit yourself like a slave does to the master. It doesn't mean that you submit like a child would to a parent. It doesn't mean that at all, loved one. It means that you willingly place yourself under the authority of your unbelieving husband. We're talking about unbelieving husbands, okay? And why do we do it? Well, chapter 2, verse 13 said, number one, why? For the Lord's sake. Then in 2:15, it says, for this is the will of God. And also you do it, ladies. Why? Because you love Jesus. Amen? John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, but you do it for a specific reason as well, and that is this. This is your first step. If you are in this condition, you're listening on the radio right now, you're listening live across the world, wherever you are, if you're married to an unbeliever, here is the very first step to make that guy a new husband, okay? And what do you do? It says to win your husband. Now, let me just stop. If God in His Word is telling a Christian wife who's married to an unbelieving husband to submit to him, how much more should a wife, a Christian wife that is married to a Christian husband, submit to him? Amen? Come on. I know you don't like that word, but that word didn't come from man. It came from heaven. Amen? Now, listen, very important here. And I deal with this. I've dealt with this for over 40 years in ministry. Loved one, listen. Before we continue, there could be a tendency for some of you to start thinking, or you that are listening live to start thinking, well, you know what, that this scripture right here, that woman's married to an unbeliever, so that's permission to marry an unbeliever if I'm a Christian. No, that's not a proof text at all for this passage. The scripture forbids an unbeliever or a believer and an unbeliever from marrying, amen? They're not to do so. I have never knowingly married a saved and unsaved person. I've never done that. It's forbidden in Scripture. Now, you know, so Peter is writing to wives then and now who had become Christians during their marriage or after their marriage. They're saved. They're born again, but their husbands are not. We're not to be unequally yoked. Let me give you the scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Is that clear? That is a command. Why? Well, an unbeliever and a believer, do they have two different natures? Do they have two different destinies? Do they have two different fathers? In Adam all die. In Christ all shall live. Amen? So you can't put light and darkness together. The natures, it just doesn't work that way, loved one. So it says, wives, be submissive to your unsaved, unbelieving husband, okay? Look at it. That even if some, meaning some husbands, do not obey the word, they, the husband, it says, do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be one, meaning one to Jesus Christ. And look how it's done. By the conduct of their wives. The word there, do not obey, rather. That's a strong word. The husbands mean they are not persuaded. They don't care. They absolutely refuse to believe the gospel, the good news, the living word, if you will, the only thing that can save them. Amen? It's a living word that lives and abides forever, 1 Peter 1:23. Now, with all that being said, it says there that they may be one, amazing, without a word, meaning not God's word, meaning the woman's word, meaning that the wife, the believing wife, don't be talking, don't even be speaking about it, none of that. Would you say that's amazing wisdom? I mean, Christian wives, you're not going to win your unsaved husband, it says right there, by your words. Robertson said this, when our lives honor Christ, even silence is eloquent. So, wife, are you married to an unbeliever? And you're a believer, of course. Do you attend church? Of course you do. And then they stay home. God says, okay, here's what you do. Don't say a word about it. Not one word without speaking. You're going to win him. Which means this. You cannot be nagging your husband. Let me say that again. I don't think you heard. You cannot be nagging your husband. You cannot be preaching and sulking and pouting and manipulating. You can't be mean. You can't be angry. That will not win your husband. Amen? No, it's not going to work. No, listen, 3,000 years ago, listen to what Solomon said. He said in Proverbs 21:19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious or quarrelsome and angry woman. In the wilderness, that means the desert. It means out in the middle of nowhere. He says also in Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious or angry woman, they are just alike. Now, so what's going to happen if you nag and you pout and you're going to go to hell? You know what I'm saying. Are y'all with me this morning? I've never seen you this quiet. No, you're going to drive your husband away. I was talking to a lady a few years ago and she said, I downloaded all your sermons, and I play them at home when he's there. I said, oh, please don't do that. You're going to drive him crazy. He doesn't like me, okay? and he's an unbeliever, you know, and says, and you're just doing something. When you do those things, nagging and all that, you know what you do to your husband, your unbelieving husband? You're making it easy for him to call up his buddies and say, hey, are we going fishing today? Hey, are we going to work on the cars today? Do you understand? Anything to get out of the house because he doesn't want to listen to you. So I'm just being honest. This is God's wisdom. He says you're going to win them with a wordless sermon, meaning your conduct. Look at this here. Look at the kind of conduct. In verse 2, it says, and when they, meaning the unsaved, your unsaved husband, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now, did you see that word observe? That's a great word. Peter uses it 3 or 4 times in 1 Peter, okay? And remember, it tells us in chapter 1, verse 12, that angels are watching you. Isn't that amazing? They're observing our salvation, this great salvation. In chapter 2, verse 12, it says that the lost, they're watching you in the workplace and wherever you, in college or whatever you're at, they're watching you. And here it says, your unbelieving husband that lives with you 24/7, he is watching you, he's observing you. And what kind of things does he, God says he needs to observe? It says your pure conduct, your pure behavior. In other words, you are born again. You are different. He sees it, he knows it, and he's trying to get a grip upon it. Why you do the things that you do that you used not to do. And that's very important. So it says your pure behavior coupled with fear. Now that word in the Greek, that word fear, is the same word used in Ephesians 5:33, where it says, and wives, also see that you reverence or respect your husband. So here it's saying that she is to respect him. Now, it's amazing. You can either do two things, ladies, if you have an unbelieving husband, because your witness to him is either going to be a powerful witness by the way you live, or it just isn't going to be at all. Now, let me explain something about this observation. It's very important because it's so simple, and yet the wisdom of God is unbelievable here. You know, and let me ask you a question. Wives, how did you win your husband the first time? Did you win him with his ears or with his eyes? Men, I don't know if you know this or not, ladies, but men are lookers. Go to the mall. And they're with their wives. I don't ever go to the mall. I mean, I can't remember the last time, but when I do, I sit because I don't submit to my wife and go to the mall with her. I mean, sometimes I do. But I sit and I just watch people. And I'm telling you, men will break their neck. I don't care if they're 90 years old. You know, well, they're going to look. Men are just lookers. Now, listen, ladies, your husband, he noticed you long before you ever opened your mouth. That's not what he was looking at, okay? Are you going to be religious? He wasn't looking at your mouth, believe me. Never mind. So your unbelieving husband, he is watching you. Now you're born again, though. And he sees your walk. He sees not your talk, but your walk. He sees you, if you have children, he sees you praying with your children. He sees you have your own private time of prayer. He sees you open your Bible and not only read it for yourself, but to teach the children. He sees that. He watches that. He knows what's going on in the house, okay? But he's not saved. He knows. He watches you faithfully drag the kids to church on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, whatever it is, and so forth. And so listen, it's your actions that he sees, not your words. And that's what God is telling you to do. What do your actions do? They condemn him, don't they? They condemn him. And he knows it condemns him. Someone called this, some pastor, I forget who it was, the silent preaching of a lovely woman. So to win the unbelieving husband, number one, we do it, ladies, by submission, submitting to the unbelieving husband. You're a Christian. You can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, you do it without speaking. Number three, it's your pure behavior and conduct coupled with fear. Now listen, now we come to number four. And wives, you may not like number four, and that's probably why it is a command, not a suggestion or an option. Look at it in verse 3. Do not, the command, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging of the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Now, What is Peter telling us right here? He's saying, listen, don't depend on the external, if you will, your external wardrobe, your external adornment to win your husband. Don't do that. I mean, you know, you can dress to kill, okay? He's saying, no, don't do that. So, are you saying, is Peter saying, okay, Bill, no more rain, don't comb my hair ever again. Don't put on any gold rings and don't have any nice dresses or fine apparel. Is he saying that? No. It's not a sin to look your best, ladies, and I encourage you to do so, okay? Yeah, but that's not going to win an unbelieving husband in our text. This is not a command to neglect your demeanor, okay, at all, your outward appearance. I mean, I thank God for cosmetics. Well, no, I don't mean it like that. But, Jay Vernon McGee said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. So that's what. So please don't stop wearing that makeup, okay? I mean, you want to win your husband, you don't want to scare him. All right, now, so what is he saying here? Let's bring it up to 21st century. Don't trust Maybelline. I saw a commercial on TV. I should have written all the notes down. It's called Creepy Skin. How to get rid of creepy skin. Listen, you get old, you're going to have creepy skin and nothing's going to get rid of it, okay? So that's just the way it is. So L'Oreal and Chanel and Dior and CoverGirl will not win your husband, but trusting God's word will. Amen? Now, it says, so anyone today, did you know anyone today, especially today? I mean, if you have money, listen, outward beauty, can it be purchased? Yeah, you could do anything to your body today. Isn't that sad? I mean, never mind. I don't want to get into all that. But God says about, when it comes to who you are, God says you have something so much greater than your external, the way you dress. He says, if you want to win your husband, look at verse 4. It says, rather, let it be. Don't put on all those fancy clothes. Nothing wrong with that, dressing nice. But he says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty or imperishable beauty. Imperishable beauty, loved one, doesn't come from Dillard's or Macy's or Saks or any of those places. Did you know that? Okay. So the hidden person of the heart, incorruptible beauty, of a what? Gentle or meek, quiet, meaning peaceful, lowly spirit. Now, did you know that's the only description Jesus gave of himself in the Bible? He says, I am meek and lowly. Come unto me, remember. So God says, which is very precious or of great worth in the sight of God. Now, the hidden person in the heart, who is that? It's Jesus. Amen? Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, living in me. Christ is in you. He is in me, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who what? Lives in me. So this is talking about Jesus, meaning your lost husband needs to see Jesus in you, live it out. That's what he's saying right here. Now, I'll tell you something about beauty. Have you ever noticed how beauty passes? What I've noticed, and this is going to sound gross, but I don't care. It's first service, I mean. As you get older, men, now you're going to identify with this. When you're young, you can shave, doesn't take you nothing. Yeah, boy, you're done. Because you don't have any wrinkles. You don't have any crevices. When you get old, you got to pull it up this way and cut it down this way. You got to stretch that neck or you'll cut the what do they used to call that? What is that? I don't know what it is, the turkey gobbler or something. Or you'll cut it. You know what I'm saying? No, but you got to be careful. I got to be careful, man. But when I was younger, I was gone, done, looking good. Your body changes. That's why it says this. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So wives, the answer to winning an unbelieving husband, guess what? It's in your heart, that hidden person. It's not in your mouth, okay?
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but please don't miss tomorrow's broadcast to hear the conclusion to today's message. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. So long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.